Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Mark Potash. He's Jason Leisure. Welcome to Hal is Intrigue, the Chicago Bears podcast. Guys, we will preview the Dallas Cowboys game on Sunday. We will talk about the Bears' new-look offense and a trade that, at least in the Bears' locker room, seemed to take a little wind out of their sails. All of that and more coming up on Hal is Intrigue. Jason, Potsy, the Bears had momentum. They may still have it, but they decided to trade one of their most beloved guys along the way. Robert Quinn had one sack this season, but last year had 18 and a half, a franchise record. He was dealt to the Eagles for a fourth-round draft pick on Wednesday night. Jason, I think we all agree that getting something for him is better than cutting him at the end of the year, which I think the Bears would have done. But the timing of this is a little bizarre. Is that fair?
It's a little disciplined. It's a little doing exactly what you should do and being realistic. And it's avoiding a trap that I suspect Ryan Pace would have fallen into, of thinking, oh, here's the sign we need. We're close. We're close. In fact, we're not selling at the trade deadline. We're buying. Ryan Poles has been very disciplined from the start. The entire time, too disciplined maybe sometimes in free agency to the extent of, you're sitting here throughout and still now halfway through the season saying he didn't give Justin Fields enough on the offensive line or at wide receiver. But he has been very disciplined in what his plan is. And trading Robert Quinn, regardless of how great that win Monday night against the Patriots felt, fits exactly with his plan. Now, Pat, you talk about like what, you know, losing Robert Quinn for nothing at the end of the year, maybe having to cut him. The flip side is they probably could have got a lot more for Robert Quinn back in the summer.
Yeah, Potsy, you and I were talking about that off camera, as they say. Had they dealt him around the time they dealt Khalil Mack, do you think they're getting more than a fourth-round pick?
It would sure make sense because he's seven games into a season, he has one sack. How can that help his market value? This makes sense. And I'll be honest, I thought there was very little chance he would be here at the beginning of the year, because they once you get rid of Khalil Mack and you don't sign Akeem Hicks and you make some, it was clear that they were just tearing everything down, and they really did not need Robert Quinn. All Robert Quinn does is take up salary cap space and help you win games that you don't need to win. Frankly, I know they don't look at it like that, but that's the reality. And so I was surprised that he was here in the first place. You know, great guy. It's funny, a little inside Bears coverage, you know, we were in the locker room for the first time in 2 years here, and Robert Quinn was available and a really good guy, and I point that out because you saw we don't necessarily see how he interacts with his teammates, but you could tell by the way Roquan reacted that he had a huge impact on this team. So there was that. But that's not the rationale for keeping him, and that's not why you keep him. I think it was mostly because, to get back to the original questions, maybe they could have gotten more, but it wasn't. The offers weren't good enough, at least to Ryan Poles then, as it later became.
Jason, Ryan Poles said last night that there really wasn't that big of a market for him before the season started. I'm sure that had something to do with the $12.8 million that whatever team that traded for him was going to have to pay him. As it turns out, the Bears are paying down the majority of what they have left, which essentially means that they're buying a fourth-round pick with, you know, what, $7 million or whatever's left on the deal. I'm okay with that. You know, they're planning ahead for next year, and next year they've got the most salary cap space in the league by double now, I think.
It's the right thing to do. They're still in a rebuild. And furthermore, to spin this forward, Pat, like, this means more playing time for a lot of guys that you need to evaluate. You need to find out if Dominique Robinson, Travis Gibson, you need to find out what these guys really are, because you are trying to build a really good team. 2023, 2024, somewhere in that range. You're trying to build a really, really good team. So is Travis Gibson good enough to be one of your top two edge rushers? Is Dominique Robinson going to really be an NFL pass rusher? You've got to find all that out. So this really, as much as this has got to be frustrating coming off the New England game, this makes a lot of sense going forward into the Dallas game and onward.
Potsy, I noticed today when we were talking to Alan Williams, the Bears defensive coordinator, where he said the defensive line is the engine of this defense, and we're only going as far as the D-line can go. The D-line is not the strength of this team by any stretch.
No.
I mean, do you know who leads them in sacks? Roquan Smith with 2.5. He's not a defensive lineman. Do you think this now goes from being iffy to being a bona fide weakness? And what sort of effect would that have on the 4-3 scheme that they run?
Well, there's a lot there, Pat. First of all, I'm not sure how much Robert Quinn was. Maybe he was a part of that insufficient production.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Sure.
So maybe that's, believe it or not, it's hard to say about your career, your franchise single season sack leader, but maybe it's addition by subtraction. They refuted that idea, and Alan Williams said that, you know, even though he only had one sack, Quinn was still a productive player. And I've seen enough big sack guys who don't get sacks to be productive to realize that, yeah, that might be true. But still, I think he's absolutely right. I thought it was interesting that he went to the defensive line because, and I hope I'm not straying too far off the subject here, but that was like the first game where we really noticed the defensive line in this game. And that's where the first time where, even if you're not a film watcher, you look at that and say, they won the battle of the line of scrimmage, which you don't often do against the Patriots, especially defense versus offense.
So they were back there from the start.
That was notable.
From the very beginning.
And I'll be their interior, Angelo Blackson and Justin Jones, I can't say I really noticed them a lot. That doesn't mean they weren't playing well. But they are absolutely right that in this defense, if you look historically, I mean, as much as Darius Leonard, I think he's been a big factor in Indy, but DeForest Buckner actually, I think, almost gets paid as much or more because he's a three technique, and even though he's not maybe as good pound for pound as Darius Leonard, he's more valuable, and because it's such an important position. And it's interesting to wonder, wow, should they have kind of been patient and waited for Larry Ogunjobi, who I don't think he's having a great year, but certainly made a big play in the game the other day, and so you notice them, but that's, I guess, a point neither here nor there, because Justin Jones, I think, has been good enough. But overall, they needed to be better, and apparently it sure looked like it was better. So I can't remember what your question was, but all I'm saying is the defensive line, I think, is kind of an area of improvement, and I think something that bodes well if they're going to be even better in the second half of the season than they were in the first. That's where it's got to start, even without Robert Quinn, and maybe, you know, just despite him being traded, I think they still feel like they can go forward there, and I don't doubt that at all.
Patrick, what concerns you most for the Bears about the Cowboys, specifically as it pertains to what the Bears are good at and not good at, between Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott? Which one would you be more worried about?
Micah Parsons scares me to death. He's second in the league with 8 sacks. I think he's had 2 or 4 games with 2 sacks a piece, which means that he's one game and one quarter away from, he'd be the Bears leader playing a game and a half, something like that. They can line him up all over the field. He's an inside linebacker, but he's also a pass rusher. The Bears, as we sit here right now, are going to have some offensive line issues. Sam Mustafa is going to play center again. Michael Schofield was fine at left guard, so that'll look the same. But Larry Borum right now is in concussion protocol. If they have to replace him, my guess is it would be Riley Reiff. And now you're sitting there going, all right, you got Micah Parsons against either Riley Reiff or Braxton Jones. Riley Reiff has been in the league for a dozen years but wasn't good enough to start here. And Braxton Jones has been in the league for about 10 minutes. Both of those matchups scare me absolutely to death. I'm setting the over-under on him for another 2 sacks, and I think he is going to wreck the game.
Riley Reiff was at right tackle for the Bengals last year, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah but that was before that, he had been a career left tackle.
But he played right tackle for all last season, so there's some familiarity there. But you're right in the sense that Riley Reiff was available, very available. I mean, he didn't sign till when? A couple days before training camp?
The night before training camp.
And then gets here, and it's no match for Braxton Jones,
right,
who is a struggling rookie. That's a huge concern.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see Potsy, what Luke Getsy comes up with to neutralize this guy, because we saw a lot of Justin Fields runs last week. I don't want Micah Parsons chasing Justin Fields. I think that that'll probably end poorly for them.
And I think they're aware of that. The only question is how much do the pass protection adjustments they have to make kind of throw them off the rhythm that they were in, the noticeable rhythm they were in, a groove. I have rarely seen the Bears being against a good defense, and I was not kidding That was very noticeable. They were in a great groove, and how much will having to protect against their pass rushers throw them off of that? It'll be not to get too far off your question, but in general, it's going to be a real interesting game for the Bears offense because they've shown something now that teams are aware of, and now here's the opportunity for them to show how they can kind of adjust to a team's adjustments. And that pass protection is going to be a huge part of it.
Well, and that's one of the things Getsy says all the time, which is, like, this is what the league is. The league is every week you sit there and go, okay, I've shown this. Now what am I going to do? And this is, the Bears can run the football. They've been able to run the football all year. But this is really the first very specific thing that I think they've been outstanding at in one game, which was the Fields runs. Now, the Cowboys are spending all week worried about that. Now what can Getsy do? And is it getting the ball out of Justin Fields' hands? I mean, to me, that's kind of the next step here is, are we throwing screens to tight ends, screens to wide receivers, doing things that make it so Micah Parsons can't put him on his butt?
Bill Belichick, as much as he is capable of admitting this, if you watch his post-game press conference from Monday, reading between the lines, he basically admits that they surprised New England with the quarterback runs.
Right.
Now, he also says once we saw it,
then we couldn't stop
then it. Then it's no longer a surprise. And that's been declared, and that's something that we should be able to counteract. But he basically said, when asked if he was surprised, said, well, we knew of Justin Fields' abilities. And then once they declared that in the game as part of their game plan, it was on us to stop it. You will not have that again.
No.
You will not have that again where a team is just, they haven't practiced against that all week.
No, you won't. And, in that sense, I think the passing game just needs to take the next step, whatever it is.
And it should. That should be the ripple effect of being able to run
like
this.
That's the counter,
it should open that up.
Yeah, and if they're going to spy Justin Fields, okay, that's one fewer.
Perfect.
Yeah,
yes.
That should help. And we'll see whether Fields is skilled enough and whether his receivers are skilled enough to take advantage of that. They haven't. If I were playing the Bears, and if you guys were playing the Bears, I think you'd sit there and go, take the run away, and I dare you to throw it. And, Fields had a couple of good throws, Potsy, to your point, that they seemed in a rhythm. The 3rd-and-16 throw to Darnell Mooney at the sticks at the end of the first half was one of the best plays they've had all season. That would have been, two or three games ago, we would have written, 1,000 words on it because it would have been the only good play.
When Aaron Rodgers does that, you throw your hands up and say, why can't the Bears do that?
Yeah.
And the Bears did that. That was one of many good signs for the
offense. Was that the one where he was rolling right, where Fields was rolling toward the right sideline and then hit Mooney on the right sideline?
As he got shoved out of
it. It was such a great throw, and this is the reason that I do want to do 1,000 words on that right now is because it shows you what he can be as a thrower.
Right.
He is not a runner. He is not a pocket passer. He's got some of everything. Mm-hmm. And it's what could really make Justin Fields special. That throw, he has no chance to set his feet as he's rolling right. Mm-hmm. He uses his accuracy and his arm strength to kind of get over the top with his right arm and put that ball exactly where it needed to be. It was such an impressive throw. And it just shows you what he can be as a thrower. You have to have that, though. This is the thing, Pat, is like we saw a good template against the Patriots, but that isn't enough overall. Like, it has to be what the blueprint of what they did, but more of everything.
Well,
higher volume of all of it.
Well, and the Cowboys, I think we were all pretty convinced that the Patriots were good, given what they had done to the Lions, 29-0 the week before, and then, who was the team they played before that? They'd put together a pretty good month of football. The Cowboys are a lot better than them, aren't they? I mean, isn't the question now, Potsy, you go from a long week against a team that had a quarterback problem and some holes in their roster, but Bill Belichick, to now you've got a short week, but you're going to face a team with, Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons and
probably an improving Dak Prescott, too. He's only played 2 games, probably on his way up.
Well, the Bears notably have been flummoxed by the two best quarterbacks they've played, Aaron Rodgers. Had a typical 130 passer rating, really efficient, 2 touchdowns. And Kirk Cousins, I don't think he ended up with an overly impressive passer rating, but, I think he completed his first, 18 passes. It was just they had no answer, So there is a test for the Bears' defense. It'll be an interesting one against a good quarterback. And Dak Prescott is certainly that. So you're right. This is going to be a good challenge. I'm looking forward to this game. It's a chess match it's the best chess match we've seen from a Bears for a Bears offense as far as you know what they have to, what the opportunity they have. You know, how do you counter the spy? How do you, you know, counter the run defense? Whatever. It's that, and just in general, the idea of, like you said, going from, you know, a mini bye to a short week. The mini bye week sure made the coaching staff look great. I mean, that was as impressive. I was looking back. I can't remember any, even in 2018, I can't remember a game where the coaching staff looked that good from all phases. Because even in that big win against the Rams that year, I think it was 15-6 or something, the offense was not very good at all.
No.
I think Trubisky had like a 30 passer rating. It was against a really good Rams defense, so I get it. But my point is, at no time in the, even in the best year the Bears have had in a while, did the coaching staff did a game reflect upon the coaching staff as well as this one did.
Right.
And so now, you know, now in a short week, now this is where it's like, yeah, that was good. Can't deny that. But now you really got to prove it.
The short week in that in 2018, it was the short week that Matt Nagy was really good at. And
right.
Yeah.
Three games in
11
days or whatever.
Something crazy.
Yeah, right.
Something crazy. Jason, you brought up Prescott. It looks like Zeke Elliott may not play on Sunday. He didn't practice on Wednesday because of a knee sprain. I wonder whether this helps or hurts the Bears.
I was going to say, I don't know that is automatically a positive for the Bears to avoid Zeke Elliott, because Tony Pollard, who's been playing for him,
is better.
He's averaging 5.5 yards per game.
Yeah.
I mean,
Tony Pollard is
He just came off, I think, 12 carries for 83 yards.
Tony Pollard is their Khalil Herbert
right.
in terms of yards per carry. And, you know, I don't think he can handle a full slate, and I don't think Zeke can handle a full slate, so together they're pretty good. But, you know, when the Cowboys started winning games with a backup quarterback, the reason was they started leaning on their run game a little more. They got away from a Dak-focused offense and turned around and handed it off. With Dak back and with Zeke maybe out, I wonder whether it'll swing back toward a pass-happy offense. And that might not be good for the Bears either, but it certainly isn't what had been working for the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think you would still start, even at this point, you would want to attack the Bears' run defense. The Bears are 29th in rushing yards allowed per game, 150 per game, I think, something like that. You would still want to hit that first, and you would want to have, like you were saying, the combination of Elliott and Pollard.
Real quick before we get to our picks, the trade deadline is coming up Tuesday. Ryan Pohl said on Wednesday night that that they were open for business, but that talks had been quiet. If you guys had to bet, do you think they do anything between now and then?
I can't. I mean, anything could happen, of course, but I don't see them being really that hung up on making any other big moves. At this point, I don't see it happening. But again, it's, you know, we've been hit with surprises before, so it's really hard to tell what he's thinking.
I think Roquan Smith is staying. I think David Montgomery is the other obvious name there. But, you know, you listened to Fields yesterday, Jason, and Fields said, you know, the run game is my best friend. When the run game is going, that helps me. I don't know why the Bears would want to mess with that, because I don't think they wouldn't get more for Montgomery than they got for Quinn.
Not for a running back.
No,
it's really almost nothing against Montgomery, but not for a running back.
But Roquan's value is got to be pretty high, especially after coming off of a good game and just the season he's having. And
leads the league in tackles.
That's one where you'd say, yeah, they should probably keep him, or he's like their best defensive player. But, you know, in the NFL today, especially in the NFC, with so many teams seeing open windows to the NFC Championship game, nothing would surprise me that someone could make a knock-your-socks-off offer that they might not be able to resist. So, I doubt that they'll do anything, but nothing would surprise me, just given the circumstances, the way the season's coming out.
Would you rather have Roquan Smith or the last pick of the first round next year?
Well, I would. That's hard for me to say, but I guess I would lean towards having Roquan Smith, because he's your sure thing. And he's not just a good player. He's potentially a great player, and he's a playmaker. We're seeing that already. And he's just kind of – I feel like he's just kind of getting started in this defense. Even he said he doesn't have it totally down, and I just think that he can give you so much more in this defense than kind of making a roll of the dice at near the end of the first round.
And I think they'll be more than happy, Pat, to go year to year with him on the franchise tag for the next 2 years if that's what's needed.
Worst case.
At least buying time to work on a deal. The guys with the big cap numbers for next year, Pat, for 2023, are Eddie Jackson and Cody Whitehair, and that is it.
Yep.
And Eddie Jackson, to me, would have been a trade candidate 6 months ago for sure, but he's fit really well with Brisker. He's played very well. And listening to Ryan Poles talk before the New England game, I mean, everything to me points towards Eddie Jackson is going to continue to be part of things here beyond this season. So I don't see him getting traded, and you can't trade Cody Whitehair with an injury. Nobody's going to want to go for that.
Yeah. Unless he was trying to pump up his value and entice some team to take a shot, you know, make
also,
a
you offer. Can't do that to Justin Fields, because the second Cody Whitehair can walk again, you want him back here.
Yeah, I think that Eddie Jackson has been one of the most pleasant surprises of the
season. Eddie Jackson and Robert Quinn were the last two big contracts that you were sitting around with, and you dump Quinn, and I think Eddie Jackson looks like a guy that you might actually, it turns out, want for the next 3 to 5 years.
Especially when you're not so pressed to get rid of all your big contracts. I mean, even if it is somewhat cost efficient, and I guess it maybe technically it still is, but it's not an albatross contract at this point. Maybe a year ago it was. And it's something that the Bears, with their cap space, can handle. So
right. That's
another reason to keep them. And, you know, so, yeah, I would be surprised if anything like that.
Also, they've lapped the field in 2023 salary cap space. You know, I think the number two team's got half as much. Now, they're going to give an extension to Roquan, probably. Or they're going to try, I'm sorry. They're going to give one to Darnell Mooney, probably. They're going to be spending this money pretty quick. But at some point, I do think you get diminishing returns, you know, if they have $120 million versus $128 million, I don't know that that difference matters. Especially because, I mean, they may be hard-pressed to spend all that money.
Yeah, having a lot of cap space when you're looking at free agency is kind of overrated, because you usually end up overspending and going too far into free agency to solve your problems. I think it's a much easier thing to do when you have players like Mooney and Roquan Smith and you use the money that way. So I think having that huge, like you said, lapping the rest of the field in cap space, it's not as much of an advantage unless you have players on your own roster. Because, A, you have the money to spend, and also, theoretically, you have players who are actually ascending and being worthy of that.
Sure.
So to me, that's the key. The key is signing your own guys. I think they've got two. They probably need, in the next 8-10 games, they need a couple more to develop, guys who you really want to keep. I think that'll be in a rebuilding season, that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, and you know, the Bears defense, I don't think it's great, but it's stable right now, and I think stability benefits everybody on both sides of the ball here, namely Justin Fields. I mean, what was the starting field position on Monday night?
It was probably, I don't have it handy, but I think the Bears were starting somewhere around their own 40.
That's
on
insane.
Average.
That is how Mitch Trubisky scored a lot of points in 2018, and it certainly helped them against the Patriots.
And one constant has been they've been better in the second half than the first, which sometimes, if you're bad enough in the first half, you make it easier to be better. But in general, especially Monday night, that was a pretty good sign. The Patriots are a team that historically is good. They've gone, I think, 17 years straight where they've outscored teams in the second half of a season, or the second half of games throughout a season. That's their forte, is playing well in the second half, and they got shut out. I can't remember what the stat was. I had it in first and 10, but I think it was like only the eighth time in 20 years at home that they have been held scoreless in the second half.
Well,
That's a pretty good accomplishment. My point is the Bears defense. Yeah, you're right. It's not there yet, but that one consistent effect, I think, is a good sign.
They've allowed 35 points in the second half this season. That's an average of 5 points per game, which is crazy. They're third in the league right now, behind the Bills and the Bengals of all people. So yeah, very few teams better than the Bears in the second half. Ordinarily, that would transition into one of us picking the Bears to beat the Cowboys on Sunday, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Somebody did, though, didn't
they? Team Sun-Times, Rick Tellender picked them. Bravo to Rick for his bravery in the face of a pretty big deficit
just
here.
Classic Tellender goofiness, man. Goofy Rick Tellender picking the Bears to win this game.
Jason, I think our scores are similar, but I'm going to pull yours up here. What is your rationale behind all this?
I just don't think – I have Dallas winning 24-13, I believe. I mean, I can see the Bears getting some points, getting some successful drives. I cannot see them just continuing to punch it in the end zone. And There was still an issue the other night against New England where four field goals.
Right.
And field goals in situations where, in they, who knows what they would have done at the end with that last possession. If they were taking it seriously, that would have made the numbers look a little different. But you are not going to beat Dallas, I don't think, with a bunch of field goals. Dallas is going to score more than 14 points. That's going to be hard for the Bears to keep up with.
Yeah, you've got them 24-13. I've got it 23-10. My rationale being I think it's still going to be hard for them to score against a good defense. And what's Dallas? Are they second in yards allowed, Potsy, or something like that?
Could be.
What is your thanks, Mark? I don't know why I thought you would know that off.
They
the
might
top
be ranked second. They might be ranked 12th. They might be ranked 30th. I don't know. Any of those could be true.
Potsy, your score is 23-16. So you have it as a one score game. What you thinking here?
Well, I think the Bears overall are making progress. I think this. I think the rebuild is working. I buy that, and I point that out because I think they are capable of beating teams like the Cowboys, even on the road. Nothing would surprise me. That said, I just think, and maybe I'm making too much of it, I think there's a big difference between having 10 days to prepare for a team and then only five. And I think they made hay out of that mini buy on many levels. Their own self-scouting, preparing for the opponent, getting healthy, and they don't have as much time. They're playing another good opponent on the road, and they're not as healthy as they were. So I see the Bears putting up a good fight, but I just think I think the Cowboys are just a better team.
A couple of quick over-unders. Jason, over-under 6 designed quarterback runs.
Oh, over for sure.
Over? Potsy, what do you think?
Went there 12 the other night?
There were 10 designed runs.
I will go over.
You'd go over? Rushing yards for Fields, 50? What do you think?
I will go under.
You'd go under?
I think they'll be ready for him.
I think over. I think, he is such a good runner. And I never want to reduce him to just a runner because we just talked about that throw he made to Darnell Mooney. But, Pat, he's to the point now where when you see him in the open field and you see a safety or somebody coming, you know that guy's not going to get him.
Right, yeah.
You know that won't
it's
be
like
the
he's
end
on
of
ice skates.
This,
yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. It won't. That won't be the end of that play. It'll be somebody else that has to get him.
I think the Cowboys see Fields running is the one thing that can beat them. And I think they're going to go all out to stop him. It doesn't mean the Bears won't try. Although it would be interesting if the Bears anticipate that and have a completely different game plan and don't have no design runs at all and have a better plan B. That would be impressive. But I still think they're going to try it. I just think the Cowboys, with that defense, they're going to be able to take advantage of it. And like I mentioned before, I just think the Bears are going to have some protection issues that's going to prevent them from being quite as freewheeling or as groovy, I guess you might say.
Groovy.
As they were against New England. So I that's why I say I think they'll try more runs. I just don't think they'll be as successful.
If they are not as groovy, I want you to ask about that in post game.
Why were not as groovy?
Yeah, why was this game plan not as groovy?
Man.
Oh, why don't we leave it at that? He's Mark Potash. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Remember to check us out online, in print, and please like, rate, and review the podcast if you like us. If you don't, you can skip that part. We will be back again Sunday night from Dallas. Until then.
Have a great weekend.
I wanted you to say the word groovy.
Oh.
Have a groovy weekend.
I only used that once.
Have a groovy weekend, man.
Man.